From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 25th day of January, 2023. I'm Extension's Tug Gleason, out of the office for the afternoon. Today, we'll take a look back at the Illinois Farm Economics Summits and hear stories about grain outlook, production agriculture in South America, and income in the United States for the coming year. I'll also tell you how to sign up for the Illinois Farm Economics Summit online series, the webinar that started last Thursday and will continue for 6 Thursdays in a row, including tomorrow. And we'll do all of that right here on this edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Again, the interviews you'll hear today were done a couple of weeks ago during the Illinois Farm Economics Summits as the FarmDoc team made its way across the state of Illinois. That was prior to the January release of the USDA reports. What you'll hear today are comments from Joe Jansen in this next segment, agricultural economist from the U of I. He and Scott Irwin last Thursday during the IFAS online webinar series, that was the first in the 6 events, which you can sign up for at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, updated some of the numbers. However, because the calculus really did not change very much, I'll update those numbers as we make our way through the interview, but we'll hear what Joe Jansen had to say during that Illinois Farm Economics Summit. He started the live webinar in Mount Vernon by asking how many farmers in the audience still had corn to sell.
That's right. And we typically know that farmers hold a lot of inventory across, you know, across that December 31st, you know, calendar year-end date. But it's also true that a lot of that grain is unpriced, and that's a significant risk in terms of thinking about, you know, what do we end up selling that grain at? And I think there are some possible reasons to think that prices might move downward, and that's a risk for the farmer.
I'll note here that in the FarmDoc Daily article that Joe Jansen wrote just after the release of the USDA January reports, he writes that contrary to analysts' expectations that the 2022 U.S. corn and soybean supply was basically settled, USDA, of course, made significant revisions to acreage and yield numbers. Those are things that we know that reduced the estimated size of the 2022 crop. Now, this sent prices of both commodities on the day of the release and the following day higher, despite a comparatively bearish, he writes, outlook in the report for old crop corn and soybean demand, with lowered expectations for both corn and soybean exports. Now we'll pick up again with the interview.
Well, let's start with some of those not reasons, fundamentally, but the interest rate reasons you discussed at the end of the presentation.
Yeah. So one reason to worry is, right, that prices might go down, but the other reason is that the cost of sitting on those bushels is that you don't get paid until you sell. So whether that's, you know, grain sitting in commercial storage, grain that's sitting on some kind of deferred pricing contract, or grain that's sitting in bins on the farm, it's costing you every day that you hold that grain. And we usually typically think of as economists that the opportunity cost of holding that grain is really the interest rate on whatever you could do with that cash. So typically we use as a benchmark sort of what the operating loan rate is. And the thing that we've seen in 2022 is that interest rates have risen. We saw, you know, benchmark interest rates like the Fed funds rate go up about 4 percentage points. We've seen farm operating loan rates go up about 2 percentage points. So we know it's more costly to hold grain now than it was a year ago, and really that it's been for the last decade when we've been in kind of a low interest rate environment. So the cost of holding grain is rising, and that means if you want to hold grain, you really got to expect that the price is going to rally enough to justify it. We don't really see that in terms of current cash forward bids for corn and soybeans. I mean, prices for corn, forward prices for corn out 4 months from now are basically where they're at for delivery today.
Interest rate. How much does that compile to just for the interest?
Yeah, the interest cost, if you think about on a bushel of corn at 6.5% interest rate, is about 14 cents over the 4 month storage period from say now till May. So you're thinking about sort of 3 or 4 cents per bushel per month just in the interest cost. That doesn't include any handling costs or commercial storage costs that you might be paying. So you've really, it's just eating at your returns every day that, you know, you don't sell unless you have a plan to sell those bushels at a, you know, a significantly higher price, or you think that you can access some basis improvement. But the market is telling you that isn't really there today.
And for soybeans, because they're so much higher priced, for those who still have old crop soybeans, that interest rate compiles really fast.
Yeah, the thing about a bushel of beans is that it's worth more than a bushel of corn. And that means that that selling that bushel would bring you more dollars today. So if you think about at a 6.5% interest rate, a bushel of beans, the storage cost over 4 months is about 30 cents, 31 cents. So that adds up.
So that's one side of the program. Just basic fundamental economics. Now let's talk about fundamentals. You're not really convinced that the price of corn or soybeans, but corn particularly, can manage to stay as high as it has been for old crop.
Yeah, I mean, the adage is always is high prices. The cure for high prices is high prices. We are going to see Brazil harvest a very large soybean crop. I think that's largely priced into the market already, but maybe what we haven't priced in is just what that means for weak U.S. corn export demand. Going through the rest of this current marketing year, we're well behind the pace that we need to get to. You know, USDA's export projection for corn, even though they've revised that number down over the last few months, we're still, I don't think, we're just not making sales that we'd need to make to get to that level. And that ultimately means that corn prices have to adjust to kind of ration those bushels.
Mm-hmm. Should producers consider new crop sales? You and Gary Schnitke have been saying since August, yes, at least cover your input prices.
Yeah, again, I think the sort of going into this next marketing year totally unsold is an incredibly risky strategy. Incredibly risky. I mean, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, just prior to sort of right after COVID, I remember we came out of COVID, we got to $5 corn. It was a joyous event. Now, $5 corn would be a disappointment. But so you can sell corn for higher than that today. And I think it would be a proactive strategy to consider pricing some of those bushels, covering some of those input expenses with new crop sales.
What kind of numbers are you using in your new crop supply and demand tables?
The number that I think probably will raise the most eyebrows is thinking about what the season average price for corn is in the 2023-24 marketing year, so for the 2023 crop. I look at that. I look at projecting out, you know, stocks to use, and I see a big number. So my corn season average price projection for 2023 is at $5.10 a bushel right now. That's much closer to the long run sort of average level that we might see, you know, that we saw through that 2013 through 2019 period. But it's significantly lower than prices today.
That was University of Illinois agricultural economist Joe Jansen, recorded a couple of weeks ago as we traveled with the Farm Doc team on the Illinois Farm Economics Summits across the state. He and Scott Irwin last week in the first of the IFAS, or Illinois Farm Economics Summit series, online every Thursday, by the way, a webinar, and you can sign up for those at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Updated the new crop and old crop numbers. You can watch that right now. Just look in the archives at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The new season's average cash price for new crop or 2023 corn is $5.20. We also traveled with Nick Polson, who updated the numbers as it's related to farm budgets and income for the coming year.
Yeah, so my presentation, I guess, has come off as a bit pessimistic this week. We're coming off of two very high record income years in 2021 and then again in 2022, basically because of the higher commodity prices we've experienced for corn and soybeans the last few years. Looking ahead to 2023, we are looking for a return back down to farm income level in the range that we experienced in the 5 or 6 years leading into 2021. And that is due to expectations for lower commodity prices than we have seen the last 2 years, as well as some of those production costs catching up to the higher prices that we had the last couple of years.
And now, as the listeners know, Joe Jansen, agricultural economist, presented a 2023-24 supply and demand table for corn showed a $5.10 average season's cash price for the marketing year. That would be for the corn crop to be put in the ground. So using that as a basis, input prices really are going to be stressing the total income that producers are going to gain out of this crop, I would think.
Yeah, production costs, you know, historically, we're kind of seeing the same pattern that we saw following the higher income years that were a result of the ethanol boom and soybean market expansion, export market expansion throughout the late 2000s into the early 2010s. And what we see is that production costs do tend to follow commodity prices, but usually with a lag. And so now we could be on kind of that other side of the price movement where we've got prices coming down, but production costs may continue to increase for a year or two before they start to level off or adjust downward to lower prices again.
Do we know what expected incomes for this year will be like compared to last year?
Yeah, so I mean we rely on the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Association. Feel for what average farm income was across the state for cooperators in that organization. It was over $440,000 in 2021, which, like I said, was a record. Projection for 2022, we're still in the 2022 marketing year, and everything isn't finalized even for last crop year. But for 2022, we're looking at a farm income level of about $350,000, which, again, would have been a record had it not been for 2021. And then 2023, with the lower prices and production costs, we're looking at a return down to farm incomes on average below $100,000, which again is kind of consistent with what we saw in the years leading into 2021.
Do input prices fluctuate lower, and which ones generally will move? Is it diesel and gasoline and fertilizer rather than seed and other sorts of things? And how much can they move?
Well, the two you mentioned are ones that are definitely driven by global markets, much like commodity prices are. So we probably do see the most quick adjustment and movement in fertilizer prices and energy prices, so prices for fuels. Some of the other inputs, seed and other chemicals, if you look historically at price levels, they just tend to keep creeping up, and we don't see a lot of downward movements in those. But there is more volatility on the fertilizer side. However, tough to predict exactly whether those prices are going to move lower or move higher. But they do tend to be pretty closely linked historically with energy prices, natural gas, since it's an input to making nitrogen, and then also with corn. And so, if historical patterns continue, we would expect some downward movements potentially in fertilizer because corn prices are coming down.
All good information for producers to have, for landowners to use, but how do they deploy it? What kinds of things can they help to manage with this information?
Well, I think, not usually the primary person to give marketing advice here, but I think, farmers have been in kind of a two-year pattern of best decision is always to hold on to that grain and price it later. But I think looking forward, based on where we think commodity prices are headed, probably a good idea to start maybe marketing more of that 2023 crop than maybe you have in the last few years. And then on the input side, Gary Schnicki and I have put out a little bit of analysis, particularly on the fertilizer side of things. I think some of the recommendations we've sort of made are not pricing all of your fertilizer at one time, maybe diversifying, buying some in the fall, maybe doing some fall application, buying some in the spring, just so you reduce the risk of buying at the high of the market. And then, taking a hard look at just literally the amount of fertilizer that you're using. There's, there's good evidence that farmers tend to apply more than what is needed to reach their target yields or their optimal returns. And so I think there's some room to cut some costs there and reduce fertilizer use, maybe be more efficient with it and try some split application. So those are some things that farmers can take a look at.
And one of the easy things they can use to evaluate how much nitrogen, for instance, they're putting on is the MRTN, which is the in-rate calculator. It's at Iowa State University, but just search out in-rate calculator and you can put in your county in Illinois and get a good number for that county and your operation at the prices you want to use. Thank you very much, Nick. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
I spoke with Nick Paulson during the in-person Illinois Farm Economic Summits that took place the second week of January. Next week on Thursday, Nick will update the Illinois Farm Economic Summit presentation he made during a webinar, and you can sign up for it, the whole series, in fact, online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. There will be six presentations on six Thursdays, each about an hour in length at 11 a.m. Central Time. Joanna Colucci also will make one of those presentations. She traveled with us as well across the state and updated information about production agriculture in South America. I asked her at the time to tell us a little bit about that presentation and her background.
Thank you so much, Todd. You are very welcome. I am a journalist, and I'm master's in agribusiness and PhD in management, and current a postdoctoral at University of Illinois.
And you've been a journalist for 10 years covering agriculture, so this is your beat. You've been back over the holidays to your home in the northwestern portion of Rio Grande do Sul. That's the southernmost state in Brazil, near to the northern parts of Argentina. There are some weather issues there. They're not great, meaning they're not horrid at this time, but can you give me kind of a crop update from the last month?
Yes, we are facing again La Niña year. So La Niña year means drought weather in the south of Brazil and Argentina. So far, the big concern is regarding the corn fields that they need water in December and January. There are some regions in the northwest of Rio Grande do Sul that the losses are irreversible. Regarding corn, the situation is a little bit better because the crucial period for soybeans in the south of Brazil is in February, so you have some weeks to chime to the weather change maybe there, but again we are facing a La Niña year, and La Niña year represents dry weather in the south of Brazil and excessive rains in the center west and the southeast. That's happened at this moment because the soybean harvests have started in center west, in Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, and Goiás, and there is a concern about excessive rains at this time there.
Can you give me an update on the Argentine weather and what crop prospects look like? It's been a long time that the drought has been in place in that part of the world now.
Yes, we are in the 30-year La Niña in a row, and Argentina, it's affected directly, especially because the agricultural production is concentrated in Pampas region. And in this Pampa region, they have the driest weather through September to December over the last 30 years. That means losses in wheat production and concern regarding corn and soybeans again. The planting time now in Argentina is in the on the average, but more than 70% of the soybeans in Argentina were planted outside of the ideal period. So there is a concern about the yields. Even corn and soybeans in Argentina, where the situation for sure is much more there is more concern than in Brazil because the agriculture is concentrating the same region, in Pampas region.
So clearly Brazil, Argentina for several decades has been a player on the world market. Brazil in the last two decades, a really big player on the world markets. Infrastructure had been a problem. I'm wondering what the port and roadway situation looks across those areas. In Rosario, Argentina, Bunge owns what is the most important port in Argentina, maybe in parts of South America. The river there had been and probably continues to be really low. I haven't heard about that again this year, but in the past it's caused problems, of course, trying to get barges that far up the river. What does the situation for infrastructure look like in Brazil today?
If you look the last few years, Brazil received a lot of investments in railroads and waterways and in ports too. Historically, Brazil depends of the ports in the southeast, like São Paulo, Santos, Paranaguá, in Paraná. But in recent years, the investments in the north ports in the states in the northeast of Brazil help a lot to transport the beans and corn from the center west. So today, depending on the region in Brazil, for example, Mato Piba, Maranhão, Tocantins, Piauí, and Bahia, four states in the northeast of Brazil, the farmers don't need to drive from this region to the southeast. They can transport the beans and corn to the northeast and use these ports. Today, around 50% of the grains in Brazil are exports by the north ports, and 50% by through the south ports. This is a very new for Brazil that many years you depend just use the ports in the southeast. And in addition, we have a lot of investments in new railroads that help Brazilian farmers to reduce its cost production, because we know that the transportation historically was a huge cost for Brazilian agriculture. And if you compare today U.S. and Brazilian costs, you cannot see a big difference anymore when you talk about the cost of the transportation.
Geographically, these ports would be located, I think, mostly along the Amazon River, maybe along the coastline as well.
Yeah, along the coast. We have in the Amazon River too, but in the coastline, in the Piauí state, the port, the name is Port of Itaqui, in the northeast. That's a very important port today. And Santarém in the state of Pará.
How is Brazil poised to compete on the world market in the coming decade?
So today Brazil is number one in soybean producer and export. When you think about corn, for example, Brazil is increase its exports. Last year, Brazil and China signed one agreement to export Brazilian corn to China. The shipments started in last November, and in 2022, Brazil hit a record in corn exports. For 2023, there is a expectation that Brazil could reach 50 million metric tons of the corn exports. This number is pretty close to the U.S. Corn exports. The forecast, according to USDA data for 2023 for corn exports is 53 million metric tons. So if Brazil reached 50 million metric tons in 2023, maybe in 2024 or 2025, Brazil could surpass the United States as a major corn export.
Thank you much, Joanna.
Thank you, Todd.
Joanna Colucci is a member of the Farm Doc team, joined us on the Illinois Farm Economics Across the State. The second week of January, she will make a presentation in the IFAS online series. The webinar is taking place now each Thursday at 11 o'clock for about an hour. You can join her and the rest of the Farm Doc team by signing up at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm Todd Gleason.